Is this one on? I can stand here and do, okay, good. Y'all wave at me when I can move again and I'll do that. How about that? But is it just big stuff like retirement? If you've been in my office, you know there was a bulletin board installed and that was put in there for a reason. I put a big calendar on the wall every year that lays out what's coming for my year. And I put everything on there that I have to do so that I can look ahead and I can plan and I can get ready. But it's worse than that because usually on Fridays, before the week is over, I sit down and I create a to-do list for next week. Do any of y'all do that? And I start plugging it into my calendar for next week so I know everything that's coming and I can plan my week. And my wife's sitting there saying, he hasn't told you how bad this really is because David has actually taken a spreadsheet on vacation with us. And that's true. I've done that because vacations need a plan and we have to have a schedule. And so I've done that too. You'll probably then, because of that, understand that I don't like it very much when life doesn't go according to the plans. I mean, if I'm going to work so hard to figure all this out, I'd like for things to go in the way that I determined they were supposed to go. We were up in Seattle back in March for a gospel meeting that I was doing up there, and we decided that while we were there, we'd do a little side trip to Olympic National Park. I was kind of excited about that. It's a beautiful place. So on the day we had planned, we got up early and drove up to the visitor center, and we got a pass and a map, and as we're headed out the door, I said to one of the rangers, what's the quickest way to get up to Hurricane Ridge? That was the first stopping part in our point and our plans for that day. And he kind of smiled and shook his head. He said, you're not going to Hurricane Ridge today, man. He said, there's like 4 feet of snow on the road. That road won't be cleared for 3 or 4 days. You're not going to be getting up there today. And I'm thinking, but that's the plan. And so our whole day was immediately thrown into upheaval. And for the rest of the day, we were just sort of improvising, trying to figure out what to do with ourselves because the plan was over at that point. And some of you are sitting there thinking, David, 2020 must be a nightmare for you. And you are right about that. It has planned. You know that calendar on my wall? I just took it down. Nothing in 2020 has gone according to the plan. The truth is, all of us have just been sort of improvising all year long, right? Now, please don't walk away this morning and say, the point of David's lesson was, planning is pointless. Because that is not what I'm trying to say today. But I am trying to say that no matter how careful we are to lay out what we want our life to be like and where we want to go and what we want to do, either big picture or small picture, day by day, life doesn't always go according to the plan, right? And there's a Bible character that could understand that. Surely it would be the Apostle Paul. Will you let your mind go there for a minute? It just seems to me that Paul's life surely must not have worked out the way that he imagined or the way that he planned. I mean, think about when we first meet him. What's he doing? He is persecuting Christians. He thought that was the thing that he was supposed to do. And so he planned that work and diligently pursued it, only to learn that wasn't the plan at all, right? Because there was that moment on the road to Damascus where the Lord intervenes and said, I've got other plans for you, buddy. And he winds up not persecuting Christians, but preaching Christ. Boy, that was an unusual turn in the road, don't you imagine? And then in Acts chapter 9 and verse 20, as soon as that is over, Paul begins to teach his fellow Jews. I imagine in Paul's mind, that plan made sense, that he would be such a good resource to go talk to other Jews about this Jesus. He was perfectly positioned to do that. And yet we already know 5 verses before that from Acts 9 and verse 15, that is not the plan at all, is it? That God is going to use Paul to spearhead the work to the Gentiles. How unexpected must that have been? And so surely, if that's what God had in mind for him, Maybe Paul imagined that God would make that a pretty easy road, that he just paved the way and let Paul get out there and do that work unhindered. But that wasn't the plan either, was it? Paul gets out and he starts trying to teach Gentiles, and he faces all kinds of opposition and challenges and difficulties. But surely he could have expected, he could have planned on his brothers and sisters in Christ supporting him and encouraging him in his work. But that didn't happen at all either, did it? Some of his greatest opposition came from his own brothers and sisters. And so surely, if he's going to face all of this opposition, at least God would give him the freedom to do the work, right? Wrong. He ends up in jail, prevented from being able to go out and do the work. And after a few months of that, don't you wonder if in Paul's mind he's thinking, why is this happening? God wants me to go preach to the Gentiles, but here I am stuck in jail. How does that work? How can that be the plan? And then I think about that thorn in the flesh that he wrote about in 2 Corinthians 12. His plan was for God to take that away so that he would be unhindered by that. God's plan was for the thorn to stay. He had other issues, other plans for that thorn. And so if you were to say to the Apostle Paul, life doesn't always go according to the plan, does it? He would give a hearty amen to that. As we ponder Paul's life, though, I wonder if it should not make us consider our own and make us more accepting of the reality that life for us will not always go as we plan. For example, nobody plans to lose their job, right? Lots of people are losing their job right now. Nobody plans to end up deep in debt and to struggle financially. In fact, some of us are pretty deliberate and determined and thoughtful, and we make plans so as to avoid the slavery of debt, as the wise man calls it in Proverbs. And yet, in spite sometimes of our very best effort, that's exactly where we end up. Nobody plans to marry someone who will be unfaithful to them. Nobody plans when they marry to end up divorced. Wedding days are happy days, right? I was at a wedding Thursday night. I love weddings, and it isn't just because of the cake, although that's a good thing. I love weddings because they are optimistic occasions filled up with hope. Nobody goes into their wedding thing, this isn't going to work out. And yet in the back of our minds lurking, we know that for an awful lot of people, it doesn't. What begins with rings and cake and joy and happiness ends with battles and divorce court. When our children are young, we pray with them and we get Bible class lesson books opened over the breakfast table, and we bring our kids to worship, all with the idea in mind that when they're grown, they will love Jesus like we do, and they will keep on serving Jesus. Sometimes, in spite of all of our plans and in spite of our best efforts, they choose not to do that. No one plans to battle cancer. No one plans to grow old alone. Nobody plans to bury their child. But life doesn't always go according to the plan. So my question this morning is this. When that happens, what do we do? It seems to me that that is the important thing after all, because we are not in control. We cannot always make things work out the way we want them to work out. And so when they don't, it life takes an unexpected and even difficult turn for us. What do we do? As I began to wonder about that, again, my mind came back to the Apostle Paul, since it seems like his life so often did not follow his plans. What might he teach us about that? And so to answer that question, I'd like for you to look with me at Philippians chapter 1. This chapter came to my mind as I thought about how Paul coped with unexpected turns in life. And so there are three or four things in this letter written from prison that I think may help us, and I would like to call those to your attention this morning. What do I do when life doesn't go according to the plan? Number one, I need to look for the opportunities in the alternate path. There's the first thing. When my life takes an unexpected turn, when I'm headed down a path I did not think I would be traveling, I need to look for the opportunities in the alternate path. I think Paul did that. If you look at Philippians chapter 1, go down to verse number 12. Let's start there. This is Philippians 1 and verse 12, where Paul says, "Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for a greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else, and that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear." Let's just pause there. Paul talks in verse 12 about his circumstances. Do you see that? And then he goes on to identify what he has in mind when he talks about that. Paul is in prison when he writes this letter. Now just stop and ponder that for a minute. You ever thought about how tough it would be for a guy like Paul to be in jail? I mean, nobody wants to be in jail, right? But think about Paul and how he always had a plan. He was always on the move. There was new frontier to be explored where the gospel needed to be shared and new cities where it needed to be planted and churches needed to be established. And on top of that, there were brethren where he had shared the gospel who were struggling and having problems and how much he would desire to go and be with them. How many times did he say that in his writings? "I'm longing to be with you. I'm planning to come and be with you." And now he's locked up. And he can't go. Surely that was never what he had in mind for himself. And the interesting thing here in Philippians 1 is that in spite of his circumstances, he seems to have also found opportunities, right? He describes how his circumstance was giving publicity to the cause and opened doors for teaching. And other teachers were kind of looking at him and his situation, what he was doing. And they were more confident, more bold. And they were going out and teaching others. There were good things coming from all of this. In fact, some of Paul's best opportunities, I think, came in the middle of his difficulties. Think about his chances to teach before great leaders, governors, and kings. Paul only got those doors because he was in prison. It may not have been Paul's plan to be locked up, but it may have been God's plan for him to be there so he could do that work. So I wonder if when our lives don't go according to the plan, maybe we could look for the opportunities in this other path. Please don't misunderstand. I'm not one of these people who believes there's always a good reason for the bad things that happen to us. In fact, I'll be honest with you. I think sometimes the bad things that happen to us are just that. They're just bad. But even in those things, sometimes there can be opportunities, lessons to learn. Right? So I can tell you that some of my mistakes early in life, financially, and the hardships that went with them taught me some lessons that candidly have blessed the rest of the journey. They wound up being good things even though in the moment they were hard. Has your life been like that? Or maybe my loss and my grief will equip me to help some other person navigate their loss and grief. After all, brothers and sisters, finding the opportunities in whatever this new path is is a whole lot better than wallowing in our disappointment because life hasn't worked out the way that I thought it should, right? And so there's the first thing I want you to notice with me. When life takes an unexpected turn, find the opportunities on the new path. And then number two, when things don't go according to the plan, I will control what I can control. So back to the text. I'm looking now at verse 15 where we left off. If you'll join me there. This is Philippians 1, verse 15, where Paul says, some, to be sure, are preaching Christ from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition rather than for pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment. Pause right there and think about that. There are some who preach Christ. So these are Paul's buddies. These are his brethren who are doing things for the purpose of causing him greater distress in his imprisonment. And he wasn't in a position to do anything about that. What could he do? He couldn't go and confront them. He'd have the freedom to do that. And he couldn't do anything about being locked up. That was beyond his control. The interesting thing here in chapter 1 is that Paul hardly dwells on this at all. He mentions it only in passing, and I think there's a reason for that. I don't think he's consumed with what these guys are doing to him. There really isn't anything he can do about that. What he chooses to focus on instead is what he can do. Those are those opportunities on his alternate path. And I think that's where we need to focus our attention too. You realize, brothers and sisters, that an awful lot of our fretting, think about this, an awful lot of our fretting is over things that you and I cannot control. You ever thought about that? Better to focus on what we can. Joseph is a great example of that. Think about his life. His brothers threw him in, sold him rather into slavery. What could he do about that? There were a bunch of them, only one of him. And once he was down into Egypt, he was sold as a slave into Potiphar's house. No control over that. Can't do anything about that. And in Potiphar's house, he's forced to work as a servant. He can't do anything about that. A false accusation is made against him. It lands him in prison. He had no control over that. He couldn't stop that. And once in prison, he's forgotten by some guys who help him. He has no control over that either. But you know what he could control? He could control what he did when Potiphar's wife said, "Lie with me." In the middle of that awful situation, he could do the right thing. And so it is with us. I cannot control everything going on around me, but I can take care of me. And so think about that application in life and in the alternate paths that life takes. I cannot control the decisions that my adult children make. Let me say that a second time. We cannot control the decisions our adult children make. By the way, the quicker you figure that out, the better life is, okay? But you know what I can do? I can be a godly person in front of them. And if they allow me, I can give them godly counsel. And if they don't allow me, I can still be nice to them, right? I can do something about me. Do you see it? I need to control what I can control. I can't prevent somebody from gossiping about me and saying nasty, untrue things to other people about me. But you know what I can do? Return good for their evil. You'll love this one. I can't change the direction of our country. I can't alter the way that we're going. And neither can you. even if you post about it every day on Facebook. Yes, there will be a Facebook slam at every opportunity until after November. But brothers and sisters, I can change my little corner of the world by telling the people that I know and have opportunities with about Jesus, because Jesus Christ is the answer to what is right, wrong in our culture. I can do that. So I need to control what I can control. Number three, when life takes an unexpected turn, I need to remember that I live my life to God's glory. So let's go back to the text. Pick up where we left off. This is verse 18. I'm assuming my mic is still dead and I should not walk around. Is that correct? Okay. So Jeff, I can't actually stand behind the pulpit. Verse 18. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice. Notice the connection back to what he's already said. Some are preaching Christ with envy and strife, some with goodwill. He said, I'm just glad Christ is preached. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and through the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me. And I don't know which way to choose or which to choose. For I am hard pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sakes. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that your proud confidence in me may abound in Christ Jesus through my coming to you again. Look at verse 20. I love this. Where Paul says that his desire is to exalt Christ in his body, whether by life or by death. Paul says, that is my purpose. It's the reason I live. So much was at his purpose that he could say, if what Jesus needs me to do is to live to exalt him, that's great, because that means I just keep on working and help other people know about him. But if Jesus needs me to die to exalt him, that's great too, because it means I get to be with him. And that's the thing. That's the thing I'm living for. He says, that is very much better. And so I think it is this sense of purpose, this understanding of what life is really all about, that enables him to be content no matter what the path is. Because it isn't about his plan, is it? It's about God's plan to use him to glorify Jesus. So in his prayer this morning, Mark said, Mark asked, help us figure out what life is all about. And I started to get nervous, Mark. I thought you were about to preach my sermon. Because that's it. We need to figure out what Paul had figured out, that I live to exalt Jesus. Life is not about getting all of my plans worked out in the way that I want. It's not even about me at all. It's about him. It's about Jesus. It's about helping other people see how great he is so that they will come to him for rescue. And when I figure out that that is the reason I breathe, then it's a whole lot easier to cope when life takes some unexpected turns and doesn't go according to my plan. That's okay. I'm not working my plan. I'm working his. Number four. When life doesn't go according to the plan, I will lean on Jesus for peace. Because I want to be clear that I am not saying this morning that there are never turns in life that leave us disappointed or discouraged or profoundly grieved. Who would not be devastated by a spouse's unfaithfulness or a child who walks away from Jesus or a terminal diagnosis? Here's the thing. Even in those moments, when the turn is a painful and difficult turn, we have somewhere to go. We have something for those moments, like when you're locked up in prison and you can't go preach. It's in that context that Paul writes these words, I think, that are very familiar to lots of disciples. It's in chapter 4, if you will go there. Philippians chapter 4, remember this, verse 6? You've heard this before, right? Philippians 4, 6, be anxious for nothing, written by a guy sitting in prison. Read those words differently. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I can't help but wonder if Paul was preaching to himself as he wrote those words. I've got to remember, even though I'm in jail, to be anxious for nothing, to lay it before Jesus, and let him give me peace. And so when the new path is hard, I am able to turn to him who Paul said is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. And what peace there is in that. No matter what path I find myself on. Would you like to have that? Maybe someone's sitting in this crowd today and you're saying to yourself, I do not have that. I do not have that peace. Every difficult turn in life just is upheaval for me. Would you like to live differently? Begins with your choice to be his child. If you've not made that decision to confess that you believe Jesus is the Son of God and to be baptized for remission of your sins, or if you did that a long time ago, but you've abandoned that, you've been on a different path, a destructive path, you need to get back to your walk with him. We sure want to help you with that. So if that's your desire, you make your way to the front right now while we stand, while we sing.